This morning, our scripture gives us the soul stirrings of the psalmist, as if it were a diary entry. Psalm 16, one of 73 psalms attributed to David, sits in a collection of 150 works filled with praise, lament, wisdom, prophecy, pilgrimage, thanksgiving, trust, among other matters. They catalog 800 years of ancient liturgy. From Moses' time in roughly 1440 BC to the time Israel was captured by Babylon in 538 BC. The last jot and tittle of a psalm was written nearly 500 years before Jesus was born. And to this day, they voice our own grapplings in faith. The Psalms give us permission to deliver to God our most authentic, full-throated expressions of ourselves, making them sources of inspiration, hope, and guidance. Listen for the word of the Lord as expressed through Psalm 16, a song of trust and security in God. Protect me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my God. I have no good apart from you. As for the holy ones in the land, they are the noble ones in whom is all my delight. Those who choose another god multiply their sorrows. Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out or take their names upon my lips. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. I have a goodly heritage. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I keep the Lord always before me. Because God is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad, my soul rejoices, my body also rests secure. For you do not give me up to Sheol, or let your faithful one see the pit. You show me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. In your right hand are pleasures forevermore. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. I blame the ghost of John Berg Nickleby for my decision to watch 4 hours of boxing on Netflix last Friday night. He figured in my life as Pup-Up, my grandmother's father, and when I was growing up, every Sunday at 4 p.m., any two of my mom, aunt, or grandmother would drive to his retirement condo to pick him up and bring him to our house for dinner. He'd shuffle through the door and remove his hat and jacket and antagonize the dog or the cat before beelining for the lazy boy. Anything that had been on our television prior to that moment was immediately cut off and replaced by whatever channel featured the most compelling fight. That's why I witnessed Mike Tyson knock out Michael Spinks in 91 seconds in the summer of 1988. Both in and out of the ring, Iron Mike was a lethal weapon, not to be trifled with. Lest anyone underestimate him for his high-pitched, lispy voice, trust and believe that his trash-talking mouth wrote checks that his left hooks and uppercuts would cash. Back when he was young, and he had good knees, after 20 years of retirement, a 58-year-old Tyson re-entered the ring to challenge the cocky and easily hateable 26-year-old social media mogul Jake Paul in a sanctioned fight. Now, in the 30 years that have passed since Pup-Up died, I could probably count on two fingers the number of times I have intentionally flipped on the television to watch boxing. But nostalgia is a heck of a drug, and the prospect of witnessing a Gen Xer summons whatever remaining juice to knock out an egomaniacal Gen Zer into the cosmos proved just too much for me to resist. Spoiler alert, Tyson lost, albeit by unanimous decision, and he still walked away with over 20 mil, but still. Was it staged? Probably. Was it entertaining? Kinda. Given Iron Mike's transformation, his radical transformation as an individual over the last several years, his failure to inhabit the natural-born killer intensity of his youth didn't really come to me as a surprise. Many recent podcast appearances demonstrate a wizened, introspective, even somber spirit with an empathetic steadiness. In a post-fight press conference, Tyson actually described feeling proud and inspired by his own performance, both in preparation for and during the fight itself, reaching a point in his life where he's unencumbered by the overwhelming self-hatred, rage, and distraction of his younger adulthood. He experienced himself in the ring for the first time as a grounded and wholehearted individual, and that was his victory. Sometimes the spectacle is the least spectacular thing. Now, Mike Tyson is no saint, yet I find a sense of nobility in his having done the work on himself to transmute past trauma into grist for growth, and this causes me delight. I'd like to imagine that David, our psalmist, would see that as legit, to identify admirable qualities in others as a source to us of inspiration and hope. And in this day and age, we can use all the examples we can get. Amen. We, like David, only really need one ultimate source, God. God is our trust and our security. When disruption, uncertainty, fear, despair, contempt, and injustice threaten to undo us, to whom shall we turn? To God. The answer is simple, yet never easy to embrace. Perhaps this is why David turned to the art of poetry in order to meditate on it. In the face of threat or danger, David recalls God's stabilizing presence in his life as a strategy for remaining grounded. I bless the Lord, who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I keep the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. David places his trust in God because his experiences of God. And he experiences God as trustworthy. David's strategy for staying grounded amid danger and uncertainty is by centering in God. He embodies the medieval prayer, God be in my head and in my understanding. God be in my eyes and in my looking. God be in my mouth and in my speaking. God be in my heart and in my thinking. God be at my end and in my departing. Notice that as David prioritizes intentional connection with God, his own interior being functions as a source of wisdom. He is free to trust himself, not to get in his own way, and to hear the voice of God as it speaks through the quiet of his own heart. Friends, how shall we live with hope and courage, dignity and integrity? By grounding our hope and trust in God. When we ground ourselves in God, we are transformed from within, and this fuels our own resilience. Guided by our inner strength, we survey our surroundings and find others on this same journey, both present and past, that are our touchstones of inspiration. Setting our intentions to draw close to God gives us inner wisdom and strength to face whatever may come with each passing day. Finding inspiration from others who model right relationship with God and with others feeds our hope. Spending time in nature recently, I found that God fashions noble figures in forms other than humans as well. At the edge of Lake Marna stands the towering Acer X Freemanii, a Freeman maple. In a comparatively lackluster season of fall foliage this year, Freeman's leaves burst forth in vibrant reds and greens. Its branches and boughs stretch out in welcome, yet its most breathtaking beauty exists in its broad and sturdy roots. Silvery, labyrinthine twists and knobs circle under its trunk and puddle the ground like a skirt. Earlier on a nature tour, a guide reminded us that the most vibrant fall leaves stem from trees that are rooted near sources of water, which nourish their systems. Makes me wonder if David ever sought the shelter of a tree to quiet himself before God. Let us pray. God, show us the path of life, as you did with your servant David. May we in your presence find that there is fullness of joy. May we find in your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And may we, as your children, say, Amen.